This morning in our Bible class, we talked about the Apostle Paul, and we mentioned some of the things that he endured, the bodily suffering, the beatings, the stoning, the shipwreck, many of the things that the Apostle Paul had to endure. This evening, I want to begin the lesson by mentioning that the Apostle Paul had to not just deal with those physical challenges and sufferings, but then on top of it, to add insult to injury, the Apostle Paul's own apostleship was questioned. You see, he was not of the original 12 that had been with the Lord day in, day out, watching him, listening to him, seeing his miracles. The apostle would say, "I'm like a child untimely born." He was out of the time frame of the other apostles. And therefore, in the first century church, some were speaking against Paul, questioning his authority, speaking against his bona fide apostleship. So listen to the words here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And he's writing to this congregation. This will be the second letter that he writes to them. And he's talking to people in this letter that know him well. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 1. He asks these questions. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? All of these rhetorical questions, they should be able to answer, yes. Yes, you're an apostle. Yes, you've seen the Lord. But watch verse number 2. If to others I am not an apostle, yet at least I am to you. That must have been sadness for the apostle to pen those words. He says, a lot of people question my apostleship. But at least to you, you should understand that I'm apostle. Because he goes on to say, for you are mine, a seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul in his lifetime endured physical abuse and abuse also from his own brethren. And tonight I want to talk about the abuse this man receives after his passing. What do I mean by that? The Apostle Paul is often spoken against by people even to this very day. So let me give an example. If you will, go here in this book of 1 Corinthians to chapter number 14. The Apostle Paul is writing concerning regulating things that take place in the worship assembly. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 14, 23, when the whole church be assembled together. But watch what he says, please, when we go to this place. Verse number 34. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. He says, let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but let them be in subjection, as also saith the law. And if they would learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Some time back we had a lesson where we talked about the use of the word church. And here's one of those usages where church refers to the assembly. Let her keep silence in literally in church, in assembly. Those verses that we just read, there are people who speak against it. They say the Apostle Paul was an anti-woman preacher. He didn't like women. Then we go to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, and we listen to these words, again from the pen of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse number 12. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. We could use other passages, but these two will suffice to make the point that some of the things that this man penned are not popular today. And therefore many would say that they don't accept what the Apostle Paul wrote. In fact, there are some people that have a copy of the Bible. Maybe yours is like this. Nothing wrong with it. But you might, as you go through your pages of the New Testament, you might have some print that is in red ink. And people say, well, I'm going to take the red letters because that's the words of Jesus. But if it's the black lettering in the Bible, that's not so important. That's the way some folks talk. And when they come to some of those black letters that the Apostle Paul penned, they would say, well, he's against women. And so tonight I want to talk about the Apostle Paul. And even though people speak against him, I want us to see what an amazing man he was. But more importantly, he was inspired by God. So let's go back to the book of Galatians for a moment and just sort of establish the kind of authority that he was given. He writes this epistle to the Galatians, and watch what we find here in Galatians chapter number 1. In Galatians chapter number 1, we're going to pick it up in verse number 10. Here's the question. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? If I were striving to please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. The Apostle Paul's question, is he seeking to please God or men? The Apostle Paul was really clear about his mission. He wasn't trying to just please people. He was trying to please God. Now watch this as we continue in verse number 11. For I make known to you, brethren, as touching the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not after man. Now he's discussing how he got his gospel information. Where was the message that he received? Did it just get it from someone else? How did it come to you, Paul? Verse number 12, for neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. He received his revelation from the Lord himself. Now that's pretty authoritative, wouldn't you say? Directly from the Lord. And it's interesting, isn't it? In verse 12, he says, I didn't receive it from man, so it was not a human source, nor was I taught it. And I want to stop and like that point right there. You and I have gone through various classes in schooling, right? Raise your hand if you're in schooling right now. Okay, very good. And how would you like this if you're going through school and you didn't have to be taught it? We could just plug your mind in, give you all the facts, and then you unplug it and you know it all. How many of you would sign up for that class? Yeah, I would too. In fact, I would just plug in for a lot of subjects that I need a little help with. But look at this. I wasn't taught it. It came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13, for you heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and made havoc of it. But then drop down, please, to verse 15. But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, straightway I conferred not with flesh and blood. You see verse 16? What are you saying, Paul? I didn't have to go with some other flesh and blood person. What does he mean? I didn't get with some human. I didn't get with some other individual. No, watch verse 17. Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. Remember on the road to Damascus, blind 3 days, led into the city, Ananias teaches him. Okay, now you're going to be a chosen vessel to me. Did he say, I've got to rush to Jerusalem and get a crash course from the apostles? Apostles, tell me how to be an apostle. I'm going to be an apostle. Did Paul go to be with the other apostles and get a course in apostleship? He says, no. And here's an interesting thing. He says, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned unto Damascus. I'm curious, George, and I really would like to know what happened while you were away in Arabia. But it seems to me, as we read the whole context, we said, I received this from the Lord. It's possible that he's just simply alluding to the fact that I didn't go to Jerusalem with the apostles. I didn't go to other people. I went away into Arabia. And maybe that's where the Lord gave him divine revelation. But whatever happened, it's interesting. He's not learning it from other apostles. He's a chosen vessel, and he says, from my mother's womb. So now we've got a man who is selected by the Lord. The Lord appears to him. The Lord gives him the gospel message. He doesn't have to learn it from other apostles. I'm getting the idea now as we go through this lesson that I should be listening to this man. And if he writes, I should be listening to what he writes, not saying, well, that's the Apostle Paul. How many of you have had discussions with people and they've said something like, well, that's what the Apostle Paul said? That happens, and people are thinking as though you can dismiss it if that's something that Paul said that maybe Jesus did not say. So let's go in our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, okay? And let's just watch this interesting point here as we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Appreciate you turning those pages and checking it out for yourselves. So in 1 Thessalonians, we're in chapter 2. We're looking at verse number 13. He says, for this cause we also thank God without ceasing. Let me stop there. Whatever we're about to read, Paul's really thankful and keeps on thanking God for this thing. What is something so wonderful you can thank God for? Well, when brethren do this. This is a reason for thanking God. Thank you that the brethren do. Well, what is it they do? That when you receive from us the word of the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also worketh in you that believe. Now that's something to be thankful for. I am so thankful. The Apostle Paul was unceasingly thankful when Christian people take the message Paul delivered and they accept it not as man's word, but as the word of God. Now let's pause and think about what I said earlier. There are people in our day and age that are speaking against the Apostle Paul and his writings, and they say, you know what? When you read through the New Testament, you have these different letters. They see these are just love letters from the Apostle Paul. And oh, there were some love letters from the Apostle Paul. I can think of one in particular, Philippians, right? Was that a letter of a man who really loved the brethren? Yes. But that's not how they call them love letters. They say these New Testament epistles from Paul, they're just love letters. And what they mean is they're just like suggestions from a heartfelt apostle to these different brethren. And they're just suggestions. Not so. Paul is happy when we take what he said or wrote and we take it as the word of God. Now we go back to 1 Corinthians for a moment. Look at that book again. 1 Corinthians, this time we go back again to chapter number 7. Excuse me, let's go to chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So how should we take the writings of the Apostle Paul? Are these just letters that he's just sharing only his heart? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, listen to these words. He writes some things in this chapter. I alluded a moment ago to verse number 34, where women are to keep silence in the assembly. Now, that's not popular. We're living in a world where people say equal for everyone. And by that, they mean there's no distinction in roles. No distinction in roles. That's what the world often is pressing for. So those earlier verses we read are not popular. But it's quite interesting that we haven't read the rest of the chapter. So now in 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse number 37. If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, for they are the suggestions of the Lord. Is that what your Bible says? Let me read that again. Let me try again, can I? Because I said suggestion, and you know what? That's not what it actually says. These are not just suggestions from a spiritual man. Let's read it carefully and correctly this time. The things which I write unto you, they are the commandment of the Lord. And now I find this almost humorous, if it weren't serious, the next verse. But if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. I think that's quite interesting. And we can't miss the point. The Apostle Paul and his inspiration of the things that he wrote. And so, friends, this is one example of, yes, not just Paul, but other writers sometimes are disparaged by modern critics as though, well, these men didn't know and they were not inspired. The Apostle Paul is just one example of a man who is being spoken against because of what he wrote, and yet it was the very words that God wanted to be written. And then we go together, if we might, to the book of 2 Peter. We go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we have the Apostle Peter now writing this epistle. And this is a curious point we find in chapter 3, verse 15 of the book. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our own beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom that was given to him. I like that wording. Here's an apostle that was less criticized, an apostle who was more frequently honored for his work. And he says about the beloved brother Paul that wisdom was given to him, and he wrote unto you, as in all his epistles or letters, speaking in them some things wherein some are hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast twist or rest, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. A couple of things that we note here. First of all, we see that Peter is saying that Paul's writings are like the other scriptures. Peter is calling Paul's epistles scripture. But furthermore, he says that are some things in there hard to be understood. And friends, I would admit that. Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand. But I would also observe there's a big difference between hard and impossible. God wrote something for our learning, for us to have something. And yes, we might be ignorant of some things, but with study and diligence, we can find out what God wants us to know. So as we look at this Apostle Paul, we take him as an example of the scriptures. And never let us make the mistake to think, well, if it's in red letters, if it's the direct address of our Lord, something he spoke from his lips, that's important. Yes, but not that only. Because he selected some men to be inspired and to write down the word of God. And that word is to be respected. Now we go together to the book of 1 Timothy. Look what we find here in the book of 1 Timothy. We noted a moment ago, didn't we, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and following, about a woman not having authority over a man. And we said that that's not popular. That's not something that the world appreciates. And yet God's rule, God's ways are the best. And we should understand that. Look at chapter 3 now of this book, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Verse 14, "These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." This is a wonderful verse, because this, first of all, has nothing to do with our meeting place. We might meet under a tree for worship. We might meet in a little building somewhere. I remember years ago in India, a little tin roof, smaller than your garden shed, trying to meet in there and worship. It doesn't matter whether we worship in this building or wherever it might be. That's not talking about this. What this is talking about is the church of the living God, how we behave as members of the body of Christ. And watch it. Paul says, "Timothy, I'm looking forward to coming to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I want people to know how to behave themselves in the church." What's that mean? Proper Christian behavior. And so he writes in this how we ought to handle ourselves. And so look at chapter 5 of this same book. And yes, he's writing to Timothy, but we all need to learn these lessons. Look at these words in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. "Rebuke not an elder or an older man, but exhort him as a father." That's how to behave in the church, isn't it? How do we treat the older members here? You treat them like you would treat your dad. How many of you would just speak disrespectfully to your father? I hope you would never treat your father that way. He says you treat the older men in the congregation with that kind of respect, like you would a father. And then he says, "The younger men as brethren," or brothers. Treat those of your same age as if they're brethren. Verse 2, he says, "The older women, you treat them as mothers." As mothers. How would you treat your own mother? With respect? With the dignity she deserved? Your life began with her pain. Okay? And you were a pain to her afterbirth for a while. It's hard to be a mother. But she went through all of that, giving you care when you were sick, all of those different things. And he says, "I want you to treat the older ladies in the congregation like you would treat your mother." And then in verse number 2, he says, the younger ones as sisters. Men, young men, how do you treat young Christian ladies? You treat them like sisters. And then he puts this, "in all purity." Not inappropriately, because young men, you might be tempted to treat other young Christian ladies in an inappropriate way. He even cautions them. And by the way, Timothy's probably not even a teenager right here. Probably a little bit older than that. But what are we saying here? We're getting a picture of a man who's inspired by God. And he is teaching. He is a bona fide apostle. And the things that he writes are the instructions for how the church is to behave, even down to how we treat one another. If I can take 1 Timothy chapter 5 and say, this is what God is telling me, how I ought to treat my brothers and sisters in the church, can I not also from this same epistle say, ladies, they're not to teach over men, and that same thing is authoritative. Isn't that an amen? Or is that an amen? So let's never be shy. Let's never be ashamed of what the New Testament teaches. Now, we must be kind and we must be understanding. The world is in error. They don't understand. But we need to find a way to tell people, I know that this is not popular and we're not against women, but we do know what God says is proper. And we're going to follow the will of God, not because Paul said it, but because Paul got his message from Jesus Christ. Amen. And therefore, we will submit ourselves to what the teaching of the Scriptures say? And it's sometimes a challenge for us, isn't it? In a world that thinks so differently. And so now as I close this lesson, we'll go to 2 Timothy. And it's appropriate that we look at him in this respect before we close the lesson. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to go back in time, approximately 2,000 years. And we're going to try to visualize the Apostle Paul as he's facing execution. Now, he's faced near death before, hasn't he? He's been stoned and left for dead. He's been beaten with rods. He's suffered shipwreck. He's gone through a lot of things, but this time, it's going to be all the way to death. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 6, I'm already being offered. The time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but to all them who have loved his appearing. The Apostle Paul, at his death, is even willing to include you and I. Isn't that beautiful? He's facing death. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. The crown is waiting, and not for me only. Do you see what he just did? If you are on your, as it were, deathbed, or in this case, you're ready to be decapitated. He's a Roman citizen. He gets that privilege. Isn't that wonderful? That's how he gets to die, getting his head chopped off. And yet he says, there's a crown waiting for me, and not for me only. He's thinking about other people at the time of his near death. And so he said, it's not for me only, but all that have loved his appearing. And then as we read further, he says, give diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse 10, for Demas forsook me, having loved this present world. That's a sad thing. He's been faithful to his end, but there's some people who have already left him, like Demas. And then verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. You remember this, Luke? Sometimes Luke would go with me on some place and the other children would be there. I would just leave a note on the table and it said 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Then Joy would know, Luke's with me. But seriously, the Apostle Paul's dying, and this is about not my son Luke, but Dr. Luke, right? And Paul is facing death, and he says, only Luke is with me. And I want to think of this. At the hour of your passing, wouldn't it be great to have someone like Luke right there with you? Wouldn't that be fabulous? But the Apostle Paul, I have no doubt, even if Luke wasn't there, he was ready. He was ready. And I hope this lesson tonight will spur us to realize the words of the New Testament. They are the words of God, not the words of men. And we need to respect them. If you have a need, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.